visiting today, here's the deal. You got to help every once in a while. Help the poor preacher, okay? Every once in a while, I'll have you say something. Like right now, can you say Thanksgiving leaves with me? Come on.
Thanksgiving leaves.
That's what we're talking about. My wife came to me turn me down just a little bit, Kevin. Not much. My wife came to me. We always try to get our series together. You might wonder, how do we preach different series and things like that? Well, it usually just comes with some brainstorming and ideas. We always preach the Bible. Always preach the Bible. But maybe a new twist or a new look as far as titling it or an area of study or something like that. So she's the one who came up with this. It's fall time and leaves are falling. And we went to see the Steffens up in Gatlinburg. And we were expecting the leaves to be all changed, but they weren't. Chuck told me it's because they haven't had a lot of rain up there this year. But the leaves generally in the fall, they change the colors, they fall. So the idea this time of the year, especially when I go home every Thanksgiving, I see those Thanksgiving leaves, and it brings back memories of raking the leaves back home during the fall. We enjoyed it. At the time, you didn't like to go rake the leaves. But anyway, it was a fun time because we'd always make the big piles. We'd play football in the leaves, and man, you'd have leaves in your pants, leaves in your underwear, leaves in your socks, leaves in your shoes. But it was a great time. So we're talking about Thanksgiving leaves. And today, what Thanksgiving leaves? What Thanksgiving leaves. If you're a thankful person, it's going to leave you a better person. Did you hear me today? You're going to be left. Now, next we're going to talk about when Thanksgiving leaves. What happens when we're not thankful, when we're not grateful? What happens to our life? And what does the Bible have to say about it? Then we're going to talk about, finally, who Thanksgiving leaves. And that's leaving a legacy. We can leave a legacy to our family and our friends and people that know us by the way our attitude is. So we're going to talk about, basically, over the next 3 weeks, attitudes of gratitude, being grateful to the Lord. Today, what Thanksgiving leaves. Let's get going, Ron. And look, we got the leaves falling today. Isn't that nice? We appreciate that. There's a myth about Thanksgiving. There's a myth about being thankful. And here's the myth right here. There's a myth out there that people who are really thankful have never really had it rough. Okay? People who are really thankful, they ain't never had any real problems. You see what I'm saying? That's a myth out there. Let's keep moving. Things have just been really good for them people. That's why they're thankful like they is. You hearing me? Come on. Life has been served up to them on a silver platter. Okay? Keep moving. They have no clue of what hard times really are. That's why them dumb, stupid people are thankful. Okay, I just threw that in there. Okay? And if they'd have had it as bad as me, well, they'd have the same stinking attitude that I got. That's the myth of Thanksgiving, of a spirit of thankfulness. You know, we make excuses for our bad attitude. And I want to give you a little clue today. Nobody likes your bad attitude. And it's not because at times we're not friendly. We can always be more friendly to people and love people. But many times it's because of our attitude. You know what? If you want to be in a bad mood, we'll let you. You know what I'm saying? We hope you aren't. We want to try to help you. But some people, that's the attitude they want to have. That's the way it's going to be. And so the idea is that, yeah, people are thankful because they've never had it rough. Okay? That's a myth. Being thankful or having a grateful spirit and attitude is not about how good or bad you had it. Okay, would you read that with me? Go back, Rod. Come on, read that with me. Being thankful or having a grateful spirit and attitude is not about how good or bad you've had it. Keep moving. It's about a decision. It's about a choice that you and I have to make. It's a choice that we have. That decision is what we think about God. So that's what we think about God. We're laying some groundwork here. We must choose to believe that God is good. That is a choice that you have. Or, and that He is holy. We must choose to believe that God is good. That He is holy. That He is righteous. Keep it coming. That He's my sustainer. It's a choice for me to believe that He is my help in time of need. That He will never stop caring for me. It is up to me to choose to believe that He will never leave me nor forsake me. That's what the Bible says, all those things. But it's up to us to believe that. And believing that can change us. He will never change. We must choose to believe that. It's up to us to choose to believe that Jesus died for me to save me. I can't believe that Jesus died for you. You're going to have to believe that Jesus died for you. Does that make sense to you? You have to receive Christ as your own personal Savior. You have to receive what He did on the cross for you. You need to choose to believe that He prays for you and for me and His Father. That's what He said. He said He's at the right hand, the Bible says. He makes intercession for us to God the Father. You've got to believe that. We must choose to believe that the Holy Spirit indwells us. It's a choice. You don't believe in that Holy Spirit indwelling yourself? I sure do. Why do you believe? Because the Bible says so. Okay? I also believe because I know He lives in me. I can feel His presence in my life. Okay? It's up to us to choose to believe that He guides us, that He comforts us. And look, we could go on and on and on about this, but let's keep moving. Here's the point. Thanksgiving is about the attitude that you choose to have in relation to God. That's what Thanksgiving is. And we're laying the groundwork here today. It depends on your attitude toward God, if you're thankful or not. It really, keep moving, has nothing to do with what you have or what you don't have. Have you ever heard of anybody that has less than you say? Raise your hand if you've ever heard of anybody having less than you. Do you think that anybody has less than you has a worse attitude than you? Say it. You ever heard of anybody that has worse than you and they had a pretty good attitude? Say it. Sure. See, it does not have to do with what you have or don't have. That's not going to fly. That might fly in some places. It ain't flying here. It's your choice if you want to have a good attitude. It's your choice if you want to be thankful. Hallelujah. It has to do with how you view God. And we're going to see that today a little bit. Okay? He is good or He is bad. Who is God to you? Good. Bad God. Bad God, let this happen to me. Is that who God is? Bad God? Or is He good to you? It's your choice. Rod, just hold it right there for a second. If you don't mind. I just want to spend a little time with you today. It's our choice if we're going to believe God is good or God's bad. Because stuff's going to happen to you in your life. And I look at your faces, and I know many of you, I know your stories. And I'm sitting in a room today with people that have experienced things like I've experienced. And 12 years ago, Thanksgiving, the night before Thanksgiving, my mother went to a little country church where I just preached at a few weeks ago. And Joey Burr's the pastor, and my mama went to that church like she always did the night before Thanksgiving 12 years ago. And there she prayed for her husband. There she asked for her favorite song to be sung, Amazing Grace. And she talked with some folks, and she prayed with a lady at the altar. And then she went home. And when she got home, my stepdad was waiting for her, and he shot her 6 times with a .357 Magnum. He left my mother laying dead in the floor in our old country home. And, you know, if you're going to be thankful, it's a choice. And Thanksgiving really, it really hits me every year because that's when Mama was killed. And, I mean, you know, here's a time of the year you're supposed to be thankful, but for me, it was like the worst time of my life. But it's helped me. It's helped me to realize, Clark, you got a choice to make. Either God is good or He's bad. Either He's holy or He's not. And so, I've just chosen to believe that God is good. Did you hear me today? I've just chosen to believe that God is good and there are bad people in this world and bad things happen. And there's no doubt about it. God permitted my mother to be murdered. God is God, friend. He can stop anything or do anything He wants to. Like we talked in the early service, God permitted Satan to come against Job and to take his animals and to kill his servants and to actually bring forth a wind and kill his 10 kids. God allowed that to happen. And God allows stuff to happen in our life. And it's up to us if we're going to believe that God is God or God isn't, or God is good or God's bad. And quite frankly, what you believe about Him is not going to change Him. But what you believe about Him is going to change you. And I'd just like to share something real quick with you about my mom. This was a sermon, the first sermon I preached after my mother was murdered. I went to my files and pulled it out. And I just thought I'd read it to you. This is the first thing I said to the church people after my mom was murdered. And I preached a message about her. And I told about her life. And here's what I said. I said, Mama was saved. And many of you have heard the story of how she trusted the Lord. But her husband refused Jesus Christ. She had once been a drunkard, my mother, and evil. Now she had changed, but her husband did not. He resented the change in her. He didn't like the fact that she was a Christian. He liked the old drinking floozy that she used to be. Like his new woman. He constantly, for 15 years, attacked her faith. He ridiculed her. He harassed her. He undermined her. He mocked her. He treated her like dirt, like a maid, worse, like a dog. He never spoke to her unless it was hurtful and unkind. He never touched her lovingly. He didn't celebrate her birthday or get her a Christmas present for 15 years. He disliked her kids, especially me. And when I preached this, I said, I wear that as a badge of honor. He made her pay all the bills on her meager Social Security check, even though he was worth about $1 million and had a big monthly income. He took away her transportation. Actually, he sabotaged a little car, a little 73 Ford Civic, a little small thing that my brother had given her. He sabotaged it, wrecked the engine. He was paranoid about his truck. He'd actually go around the pickup truck at night and rake in the dirt with a rake just to see if there were footprints in the morning if she had taken his truck and gone anywhere. He bugged all the phones for years. When they found my mother's body and then they were investigating the scene, there was a shed out in the backyard, and they opened up the shed and there were boxes and boxes and boxes of cassette tapes of years and years and years of bugged phone conversations. He tried to turn her friends against her. He would go to her friends and say, the woman that comes to church is not the woman that comes home to live with me. She's a hypocrite. He even tried that on my brother Terry. He tried to get my brother Terry to turn against my mother. Well, the Clark boys don't do that, okay? Ain't happening. He took her name off of every joint account that they had. He forbid her to come to my wedding. I was married here 22 years ago last Sunday. And she was coming, but he forbid her to come to my wedding. I didn't know why she couldn't be there. She said she'd had a problem with her nose, and Dr. Queen said she couldn't come. But little did I know that he had beaten her black and blue and had broken her nose. And she had made a beautiful dress to come to the wedding. I never knew that, but after her death, a friend told us about the dress she had made. And she had helped her in singing and stuff. I didn't know about my mother being beaten that time until after my mother's murder, a neighbor across the fence brought some pictures of my mother's face. And her face all beaten and everything. And Mama had given this neighbor across the fence these pictures just in case something ever happened to her. She said, take these to the authorities. They were wrapped up in aluminum foil. And I still can remember them very vividly in my mind as I sit here this morning. Here's what she told her pastor. She said, and she confided in him, and he kept her confidence. She said, Pastor, it's most difficult to sleep at night. It's hardest at night because he said he's going to kill me in my sleep. Can you imagine going to sleep like that? Whenever we found Mama's body and we're going through the stuff, I turned back her pillow, the covers on that, and we're taking the bed covers off and clearing out the house, and under that pillow was a hatchet. She slept with a hatchet because she feared her life. Now, why do I say that? He did kill her. He killed her on Thanksgiving Eve after she did her turn home from prayer meeting. Why did I share all that with you? This is just what I told the folks years ago. But I wanted you to hear that today, because when you hear that, you've got to have an impression in your mind about a woman who was depressed. Somebody who was defeated. Somebody who was down all the time. Somebody who complained. She was not like that at all. Thanksgiving's a choice. Are you hearing me today? Say, listen, you might have it as bad as my mom. I don't know if you do or not. If you do, I feel sorry for you, and I want to help you, okay? But the fact of the matter is, Thanksgiving's a choice. And Mama made the choice. So let me introduce you to my mom. Can we? Let me introduce you to Mama. Here she was. She's always smiling. Always smiling. How can you smile living like that? She was concerned about others. She loved to care about folks. If you ask her, if you told her, you know, tried to ask her how she was doing, she'd go, "Now, how you doing?" Because she cared like that. She was giving constantly. She made things with her hands so she could give things to people. She loved and attended God's house faithfully. I wrote down here, this was 12 years ago, she was a tither. Mama said this, "You got to give God His first." I'll never forget it. She taught me that. I was stingy as a day is long. But she'd say that with a smile. She was an encourager. I'd call her from Englewood, Florida, and I might tell her about a struggle that I'm having in my marriage. I might talk to her about a struggle I'm having in church or with other relationships. And Mama would say, "Son, Romans 8:28 is still in the Bible. All things work together for good to them who love God." She served her husband. What do I mean? Washed the clothes, kept the house immaculate, cooked like nobody's business. You know how I like food. I got that because I had a mama that could cook like crazy. You know what I'm saying? She prayed for her husband. My mother hummed a lot. Always humming. She loved her kids and her grandkids. She loved her pastor. I wrote down here, she never whined or grumbled about her church or her pastor. What am I saying? I'm saying Thanksgiving's a choice. Are you hearing me today? Thanksgiving is a choice. And Roger, I'd like to skip over what we put up on the screen. We're going to move on forward right now, if you don't mind. Thanksgiving is a choice. I just want to share that with you. Every Thanksgiving, I go home. I will leave a week from Tuesday, most likely. I will get in my car with my family. We will drive to Rockingham, North Carolina. And on up the road from there, we'll go to my brother Terry's, and we will have a family reunion. The Clarks never had family reunions until my mother was murdered. We go home now. We make that journey, that way back to North Carolina, because we have a reunion to honor my mom. Thanksgiving has become a choice for me. I choose to be thankful. Does that mean that I don't gripe? Sure, I gripe sometimes, but I'm wrong when I do it. And Joy knows the times I say things I shouldn't say. But the fact of the matter is, God changed me through the death of my mother. He made me a more loving husband. I still hadn't arrived yet. I want to do better, honey. But He made me a better father. He made me certainly a much better pastor and counselor and listener. And so God has blessed me. Thanksgiving is a choice. And listen, people, I know some of you are hurting real bad. But it's a choice. And you can get better. Did you hear me today? You can be better. God can work in your life. But it starts today with choosing to be thankful. Now, hang in here with me. I know that might have like, "Oh, I'm about to go to sleep." But come on, hang in here with me. Let's move forward now. Back it up. Prior to that. Yeah, keep going. We've got to back that all up there. Okay? What Thanksgiving leaves? Right there. After that one, right there. What Thanksgiving leaves? I just moved it forward because otherwise we won't get out of here in time. Here we go. What Thanksgiving leaves? I started thinking this week in my office. What does Thanksgiving leave? What happens when I'm thankful? What has it done in my life? What can it do for you today if you choose to be thankful? And make this day, the second Sunday in November 2005, a day when you say, "I'm going to be thankful and I'm going to say, God, you're good instead of God, you're bad." What can Thanksgiving leave in your life? Let's look at it. Number one. Here we go. And let's just move with it. It's going to leave you eyes that can see. Can you say that with me? I need help right now. Eyes that can see. Thanksgiving will leave you with eyes that can see. Here's what I mean. In Luke 17, Jesus healed several. Here's what chapter verse 15 says. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back and with a loud voice, what? He glorified God. He fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, for he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 that were cleansed? But where are the 9? 9 out of 10 people, I'm convinced of it, don't thank God. That's what that passage teaches, doesn't the preacher? 9 out of 10. I want to be one of the 10, amen? I want to be that one that thanks the Lord. Put it back up, Raj. Eyes that can see. Eyes that can see. Here's what being thankful will do for you. It will open up your eyes to the good things of God around you. You know what I'm saying? If you start to be thankful, you might say, "Hey, Pastor Clark, I've had this bad. I was raised this way. I had this problem." Man, you may have suffered molestation, rape, problems in your life. I don't know. I know bad things.
things that happen to a lot of people. But if you start realizing that God is a good God, you live in a bad world, though, that's for sure. But God's a good God. And you look to Him to thank Him and to praise Him, your eyes are going to open. Instead of seeing bad all around, you're going to start to see some good things. Are you hearing what I'm talking about today? That's what I'm talking about. The Lord has helped me through bad situations to see that there's good things happening. And God will give you eyes that can see if you'll start being thankful. But you're not going to see it. If you want to see bad, if you want to see dark all the time, you can see it. It's out there, I tell you that. But there's a lot of good going on. Do you hear me? There's a lot of good things you can be thankful for. And God will help you do that. He'll open your eyes up. It's your choice. Number two, He'll give you tongues. A tongue that can praise Him. What's the Bible? It says Hebrews 13:15. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Another scripture, I believe. Psalm 107. All that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. If you'll start thanking the Lord, you'll be surprised what your tongue can do. You know what I'm saying? What a testimony you would be. Oh, you that was always negative and down in the mouth. If you start being thankful and God will loosen that tongue of yours and you start praising Him, hallelujah, you could make a world of difference in your family, in your community. If you start praising Him, amen, let your tongue loose. Next thing, here's what Thanksgiving will lead you. So it'll leave me some eyes that can see and leave me a tongue that can praise Him. It leaves me this, a mind that can know. Now let's look at this. What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me? Do we have another scripture? Is that it? I think that's it. Okay, there it is. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. You know what? When you start being thankful, it's amazing how your mind is going to be just improved. You're going to thank God for things. Listen. God, you know, just being thankful has made a world of difference in my family relationship with my wife. You know? Sure. Believe it or not, she makes mistakes every once in a while. Yeah. Not very often. But you know, I can focus on that. But you know, I love her to pieces. And that wasn't always the way it was. I didn't know how to love. But through just being thankful and looking for the good things. It's amazing our relationship after 22 years. I just love it. There's one person I want to eat breakfast with in the morning. It's my wife. I love that. There's one person I want to walk with me when I go on walk. That's my wife. You've heard me say that before. I haven't always been that way. Are you hearing me? It'll give you a mind. When you start being thankful for your family, all of a sudden you might start wanting to spend a little time with them. It's amazing. Lose the bad attitude. It's not going to get you anywhere. Be thankful. Look at the next thing. This is what Thanksgiving leaves. Hearts that can worship. Hearts that can worship. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. Psalm 100. And into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him. Bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endures to all generations. Being thankful will give you a heart that can really worship. If you're here today and you're not thankful, and you're not grateful for how good God is, and that God's a bad God who's just picking on you, you're not really truly worshiping. You can't worship God like that. God, you're bad, but praise Jesus, it ain't happening. Either God is bad or God is good. And it's how you view the things around you that praise Him, it'll change your heart, and you can be a person that worships God. It's amazing. I did not worship God. I didn't grow up worshiping God. I thought people that worship God were freaks. People that praise God? What's wrong with you, nut? You know, singing? I never sang. What happened? Something along the way, trusted Jesus, and I started seeing that God was good. Amen? God's a great God. He loves sorry on me. It's amazing what God can do in your life. And now finally today, so those are four things that Thanksgiving leaves you. And then I got six real quick things right quick that Thanksgiving can give you. Thanksgiving can give you. Let's look at them real fast, just from my heart to yours today. This isn't a real fancy message. Thanksgiving can give you perspective. Can you say that? Thanksgiving gives perspective. Here's what I'm talking about. Look at this. Ephesians 5:20. Verses about Thanksgiving. Look at it.
giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you're a thankful individual, it's going to give you perspective in your life. It really is. You're going to start to slow down when you're thankful. You're going to start to see every day as a gift from God. Did you know what? You're not promised tomorrow. I'm not promised tomorrow. Then why don't you live today thankfully? Sir, why don't you live today like this might be the last day with your wife, sir? Instead of treating her like dirt. Huh? Ma'am, why don't you live like this might be the last day you spend with your husband? And get over it. And get back together. Let's make things work out. Why be cold when today you can be hot? Amen? Today, it'll give you perspective if you're a thankful person. Now, if you want to hold grudges, if you want to think about the negative, then have a bad life. Because that's what's going to happen to you. But if you're thankful, man, it just changes everything. It says, man, you know, like be the last day, I'll make this the best day. Amen? That's how I live life now. People think I'm a nut. Joy thinks I've got this death wish or something. Because I tell her, you know, this might be the last day. I'm going to enjoy the day. She really gets mad when I read the obituary and I go, well, see, there's somebody 43, somebody 49. She hates that. But anyway, but the point is, if you're thankful, I believe this with my whole heart, when you are thankful, it makes every day matter. It does. I mean, why have you got to wait to be 75 or 85 just to be glad you're still alive? Excuse me. Okay? Why aren't you glad today? Amen? It gives you perspective. Oh, wow. You know, it makes me want to, every time I talk to Elise, and you've heard me say this before, I want to say I love you. I love you too, Dad. I talk to Mitch. I don't want to not say I love you when I got a chance to say I love you, do I? Say it. It just brings things in perspective for me. Here's something else Thanksgiving will give you. Number two, it'll give you direction. Can you say that? Direction. Thanksgiving will give you direction. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I do not believe you can be in the will of God and be a crab. Church is full of them. Isn't that the truth? That's not the will of God for you. You know what? When you're thankful, your eyes start to open, like I said, your tongue starts to work, and your mind starts to work, and your heart starts to work, and you can actually have direction in your life by being thankful. I'm telling you, it's amazing. When you're thankful, God is going to reveal more of His will to you. I believe that with my whole heart. You're going to start to communicate with God more because God's just not going to bless somebody who's not grateful. He's not going to do that. So it gives you direction in your life. Next, number three. Thanksgiving gives confidence. Say that with me. Thanksgiving gives confidence. Now what do I mean? Look at this. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The more you're thankful, listen to me, the more you're thankful, and you thank the Lord for this, and if you thank the Lord for that, and you thank the Lord for this, you're going to be able to charge hell with a water pistol. When bad things happen, you are. You're going to be able to go, hey, God's a good God, amen. I'll make it through this. Why? Because we made it through the other, thank God, amen. It'll change the way you think. Thanksgiving will give you confidence that you serve a great God. Yeah, bad things happen. But let me tell you something. Greater is He that's in me than he that's in this world. And I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. And I can make it. And I'm going to be thankful. And I'm not going to let this steal my joy. It'll give you confidence in your life. I'm convinced of that. I tell you what. After I lost Mama, it was hard. But you know what? It wasn't like it took me years. It was like, as I just made a decision to praise God, Mom's with Jesus. Amen. Mom's not suffering anymore. Mom's not living with a man who would take his fist and beat her face in anymore. She's with Jesus. She's safe now. Amen? And all of a sudden, it just changed my life. And I started to be more thankful and have more confidence in my own life. It'll help you. Hey, bad things aren't always bad. You know what I'm saying? Bad things can get us someplace in our life sometimes when we respond to God and ask Him for His help. And He'll show up. He'll be there for you. Number four, Thanksgiving gives determination. Help me now. Thanksgiving gives determination. What do I mean? Colossians 4:2. Continue in prayer, watching the same, with thanksgiving.
I tell you, when things happen and things foul up and things go wrong, listen to me. When you have had a spirit of thanksgiving, it'll just help you to persevere. It'll help you to keep moving. It'll help you to be more determined. You are going to make it through.
Can you say that? I'm going to make it through. Say it with me.
I am going to make it through.
One more time. Let's tell the devil, would you?
I am going to make it through.
Why?
Made it this far. Amen? God's been a good God. He's been good to me.
Have you ever had any problems, Pastor Clark?
Sure, I've had some.
Are you going to make it?
Absolutely.
Why?
You got a great God.
I'm determined.
Determined?
By the grace of God,
I'm going to make it.
Thanksgiving.
I would not have that attitude if I was like, yeah, but this is all bad. This has gone wrong. Don't have to. You see what I'm saying? See the difference?
So, thanksgiving. Boy, somebody's real smart when they landed in America. Before long, after they got here, they had them a feast. Amen? Just thank the Lord. Hallelujah.
And most of them had that feast died. Died doing what they did. Lost their families. It was a huge struggle for them. But they had found a new land and they were thankful to God. And because of them, we're here today. They were determined. We can be determined.
Number five, thanksgiving gives destiny. Can you say that with me? Thanksgiving gives destiny. These are just words I wrote down as I'm thinking. It was a good week for me. I enjoyed thinking on good things this week. Here's the deal. Acts 28:15, the Apostle Paul, this is about him. The Apostle Paul had a desire to go preach to Rome. He always wanted to go to Rome. Didn't look like he was going to make it, man. And he certainly didn't think he would go the way he did, a prisoner. That's the only way he ever got to Rome, was because he was a prisoner. But God had promised him he was going to go to Rome. He kept holding on to those promises. And look at Acts 28:15. And from thence, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us as far as Appii Forum. He was taking a ship to Rome. And the three taverns, whom when Paul saw it, say this with me, he thanked God and took courage. Here's a man who had been arrested, maligned. He had been beaten numerous times. He had been stoned. And even on this journey, they had been shipwrecked, for crying out loud. He got to this island. You know what happened to him on the island? He was gathering some sticks. He's a prisoner now. And a snake bit him. He snake bit by a snake that should have killed him, but he didn't. So here's a man that had all this problem. He was going to Rome as a prisoner. And what did he do? Somebody tell me. He got to Rome, right outside of Rome. What did he do? He thanked God. He realized his destiny. He realized something he'd always wanted to do. Now, it didn't happen the way he thought it would happen. He never thought, for crying out loud, I'd go as a snake-bitten, beaten-up sucker here. You know? A prisoner. But guess what? When he got there, guess what? They didn't let him go, but they let him be in his own hired house. And they had a soldier that was hooked to him. And he got to meet, and they never forbid him to see anybody. And for 2 years, Paul got to see one person after the other person after the other person after the other person and share Jesus Christ. And he was able to turn the world upside down for Jesus Christ. Phenomenal. He realized his destiny. But what if he would have been grumbling and complaining and saying, you know, God, you're not a good God. You're a bad guy because I got snake bit. You're a bad guy because I got stoned. You're a bad guy because I got beat. You're bad, 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 bad. But he didn't say that. He realized his destiny because he was thankful. Last thing is this, and I'm done this morning. Thank you so much. Now, we're not real late, so hang on. Thanksgiving gives connection. Can you say that with me? Thanksgiving gives connection. Now, what do I mean by that? Here's what I mean. The Lord sort of showed me this in my office. He blessed my heart. Revelation 4, talking about heaven, and, you know, the way it is up there and before the throne of God watching. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders, they fall down before him that sat on the throne, and they worship him that lives forever and ever. And they cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. The Lord seemed to just say to me this week, thanksgiving gives connection. I've lost Mama. Not going to see her again on this side, am I? It's over here. But guess what? I've got a connection with Mama. Here's what I'm talking about. When I thank God on this earth, I'm doing what she's doing in heaven. Did you hear me? When I praise the Lord down here, I'm able to connect because that's what she's doing up yonder. Did you hear me? I am connected, and you're connected with loved ones that you love that they're gone. They're on the other side. It breaks your heart. Listen to me. They are doing something on the other side. They are not allowed to grumble over there. Did you hear me? Amen. Why don't you make a choice to be connected to heaven by being a thankful person? You know, I think there's a lot of languishing going on and complaining and crying in a place called hell. I want to connect to heaven, hallelujah. On this earth, I'm a child of the living God. I want to connect. I want to get an early start on where I'm headed. Amen? And I want to connect with those that are falling down and giving glory to the Lord and thanking the Lord. The Bible talks about those that were killed, those martyrs, that they're under the altar. That's what the Bible says. They're under the altar giving praise to the Lord. Can you imagine that? How can you give up the praise of the Lord if you had your head cut off or was shot? The Bible says that's what they're doing there. Amen? The Bible says He wipes away the tears from their eyes. They can pray. They can praise. They can worship the Lord. I want that connection to the other side. That's what I want in my life. Thanksgiving can leave you a lot of stuff, okay? You think I'm crazy? It's helped me. It's helped me get over some mess. And I still ain't over it all. Most people don't know that probably 2 or 3 times a month. And don't come up after church trying to fix me. 2 or 3 times a month, I'll have a nightmare. I'll see it just like it was yesterday, my mother being shot. And sometimes, you know how your mind does? It gets all things mixed up in your head. And so sometimes I'm getting shot. And so it's something I still live with. And you're not, all of you aren't going to understand. There's a few in the audience today that can relate with me because they've had somebody that was murdered. And it does something to you. But I'm saying this. We're witnesses that we're making it, ain't we? Hallelujah. We're making it. Amen. And I ask you to join us today. And let's keep making it.